please turn with me to the book of John, St. John chapter number 15. We want to read one verse from chapter 15, that being verse 11. Then we're going to turn to chapter 16 and read verse number 24. St. John chapter number 15 and verse 11. And Jesus speaking here said this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now in John chapter 16 and verse 24, the Bible said there, the latter part of the verse said that your joy may be full. Let us pray. Father, we love you today and thank you so much for loving us. Lord, we're grateful today that there is grace for every need. I'm grateful, Father, that your grace is sufficient. As you told the Apostle Paul, when Paul prayed and asked you to remove the thorn, Father, that was in his flesh, Lord, you said you wouldn't remove it, but that your grace is sufficient. Lord, I'm grateful today that your grace is sufficient for salvation. I'm grateful that your grace is not only sufficient for salvation, but Father, it's also sufficient for everyday life. Lord, I pray now that you'll help us to learn to lean on thee. Honor and glorify thyself. Do thy will here today. Touch those that are sick. Raise them up, Father, according to thy will. Honor and glorify thy name, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought, cheer up. Cheer up. Now, this is the sixth up that we've been on. We started out thinking it'd only be three, but now we're up to number six. We've looked at wake up, clean up, grow up, stand up, get up, and now we want to look at cheer up. And as I thought about this this week, I thought about our world situation. Everything going around us seems to be gloom and doom. You talk with people today, and I'd say at least 80% of the people that you talk with are very despondent and very discouraged about the way things are going. But John was a writer that God used to encourage the children of God. John's known as the disciple of love. John wrote much about love in his writing here in St. John. But he also wrote much about love and joy in his first, second, and third epistle of John. And I wrote this down. Not only did John mention here in verse 11 of chapter 15, where he said there that your joy might be full. But he said there, as we read in 16 there, that your joy might be full. But also in 1 John, John said, "These things write unto you that your joy may be full." He talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as I'm thinking about this, now three times I mentioned here that God had John to write about joy. Now God only had to say something one time to make it important. But I believe it's very important to God, and it should be important to me and you as His children to have a life of joy. Nobody wants to be around a griper and a complainer. They want to be around somebody that will uplift them and encourage them, and that are the people that are full of joy of God. But God felt it important that John pinned this down three times. Why? Because it is not the will of God that you nor I live in a state of mind of discouragement and despondency. God does not want us to live a defeated life. Why? Because we are the light unto the world. We are to be as He is, said John in 1 John, as He is, so should we be. And what he's saying is, if you're going to be a true representative of me in this world, then you must have joy. Why would anybody want to be a Christian when every Christian they're around looks like a Missouri mule that's been eating barbed wire? I mean, walk around, your face is as long as a mule. You don't have any happiness. You don't have any joy. And so they would say, you know what? I can get that in the world. Why would I want that? So we are to be examples of joy. We are to live in a manner that honors and glorifies God. And I honestly believe that if you and I accept the Word of God as it is to men as they are, then you and I can have joy. He said, I write these things unto you that your joy may be full. People that are not living a life of joy are people that refuse to believe the Word of God. I know people have problems. And I know there's times that those problems seem to occupy our life. But you and I as Christians do not have to live in discouragement. We need to cheer up. We need to smile. I had somebody tell me one time that it takes more energy to frown than it does to smile. And they said, no wonder that so many people are so dog tired by the end of the day. At least I got you to smile. But we have plenty to smile about. And I want us to see how you and I can live with joy and gladness. We can cheer up. We can allow God to bubble us up in our life. Now, here's the reason people are living discouraged lives. They've got a world overview. All they see is what is right here around us. And it's not encouraging. That's a cause of despondency. The world is a place of gloom, doom, and insecurity. There's not a thing in this world, I'm talking about man world, that's secure. There's nothing. The world gives you a picture of a place of gloom, doom, and insecurity. Why is that? Because of its ruler. What the Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 said that the ruler of this world is a prince, and the power there is none other than Satan himself. And people are believing more of what he is saying than they are what God's saying. Now I realize this world's not going to get any better. But we need to also realize this. This world's not our home. We're pilgrims and strangers on a journey. I mean, this world's not our home. Our home is in heaven. I mean, the Bible talks about us, the believers, sitting in heavenly places. And so, the world overview. You got to realize who the ruler is, who God has allowed to be in charge. And then they get to looking at the economical situation. Not very good. I know out of Washington, they're talking about how good it is. How great it is. I heard on the news this week In our surrounding counties, there's only one county that did not have more unemployment this month than they had last month. And Fannin County is not that county. Washington said, oh, we created 500,000 jobs. They all must be in Washington. I think what they did, they added 500,000 to Social Security or to welfare. But here, what I'm talking about, economically, it's gloomy. It's insecure. People are so unsure of what tomorrow holds economically that they are living in defeat. You no longer hear people talk about the American dream. When I was growing up, the American dream was to get married, own a home, have a good job, drive a nice car. Today, the outlook is, if I can just get by today, it's gloomy. But not only is the economics causing despondency, politically, we're in a mess. I'm going to say to you, I don't care who you're for. There's not a lot of hope there. I mean, it looks horrible. You say, oh, if we get Donald Trump, we'll be okay. Don't put your eggs all in that one basket. Oh, if we get Ted Cruz or we get Marco Rubio, we'll be okay. Let me tell you something. Politically, we're in a mess. I mean, it's horrible. I don't listen to the Republicans debate. Because all they're going to do is feed you a bunch of lies. They want your vote. You listen to the Democratic, and all you're going to get is lies. I don't believe they can tell the truth. I mean, you want to get equal to everybody else? Then go for Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders says, you know what? I'll take half of what he's got and give it to you. Bernie got mad the other day. Democratic Party took half his delegates, gave them to Hillary, said we want to be equal. That's the way he looks at things. But George sent me an email the other day, and somebody stole half of Bernie's sign and said, well, I want you to have a half, and I took half. What I'm saying to you is, politically today, it's bad. It's in so much insecurity there. Then morals. If this don't get you down, nothing will. I believe if you honestly went and asked 90 people what morals mean, they couldn't tell you. There is none anymore. People that stand for what's right, we're considered racist. We're considered lunatics, but morals are gloomy and ungodly today. That brings despondency, but I don't leave you there. I want to help you to be happy. I want to help you to have joy and contentment and peace. You say, how does that happen? You got to get the Christian overview. You got to look at a situation today through the Word of God. You've got to realize today, we're not to put our trust and faith in the world. We need to put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, the very rock, the only solid foundation that you and I can have today. Why can it bring joy? Why will having a Christian overview bring joy? Because it's a life that brings joy and peace and contentment. It's built on truth, which will bring security. And what people are needing today, people are needing security. People are needing to have something to trust in that they really believe is solid. And there's nothing that's more solid than the Word of God. We need to build our life upon it. We take that overview from the Word of God. First thing we notice is its leader. The leader of the world, he's up and down. He'll lie to you every opportunity he gets. But the leader that I'm talking about in the Christian overview is the heavenly Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Those are the only three people that you can absolutely say does not speak anything but the truth. We get with God and let God lead us and the Son lead us and the Holy Ghost to God lead us. We can have joy. Used to work with a man, I've used the example before, whistled happy all the time. And somebody said, how can you be so happy when things aren't going good? He said, because I have my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. He is my foundation. We've got strong leadership. But as I talked about the insecurity in the world, I want to talk about the security that we have in Jesus Christ. Notice the story will never change. It'll always be the same. That's what I love about the Word of God. It will never change. I don't have to worry tomorrow about picking it up and they saying, oh, wait a minute, that's changed. No, it's not. Why? Because the Bible said in Psalms 119, verse 89 said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You go back to the day that King James had this Bible translated into English, and people have stuck with this word. It has never changed. Man's tried to change it. Man's taken some truths out of it because it didn't fit their lifestyle. But the true Word of God has never changed. When God finished this book through those men that He used to write it, and God said, that's it, God put a stamp of approval on it, locked it up, settled it, and said it will never, never, never change. People are looking today and said, I need truth. Here it is. I don't like it. It don't say what I want it to say. Truth doesn't. The lies are what you want to hear. We want to hear we're good. No, we're not. We're sorry. But the Word of God, it'll never change. It's forever settled. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I can tell you this, and I guarantee it, that the government could come and take every Bible that's on throughout the world and destroy it, and the Word of God would still be alive and well. We have the written Word, but Jesus Christ is a living Word. He doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change. You want joy? You better base it on something you know is going to be the same tomorrow it is today. You need something that you can go back to when the storm winds are blowing and the waves are raging and everything seems to be going against you. You're at the state of mind to say, I'm finished. But you pick up truth, the Word of God, and you begin to read it. And it says the same today. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go with you through the storm. The same thing you read it, and He said that you'll not go in through anything that I haven't already been through. We get joy from knowing the story's the same. You look at the political world today. Today they're for so-and-so. Tomorrow they're against so-and-so. Economically today, this is the thing that's going to bring you money. Tomorrow it's at the bottom and it's something else. But the Word of God is forever settled. Never changes. I want something that doesn't change. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I tell you, I read something the other day that we need preachers that'll preach hell's hot, sin's wrong, word of God's true. That's what we need today. The reason people are so despondent, they don't know what truth is. Here it is. Let us be found faithful to read it and believe it and preach it till the day that Jesus comes or calls us home. Cheer up. The word of God's not going to change. You can also cheer up because a Savior will never change. He's always the same. You get these leaders today, they're your friend today, your enemy tomorrow. You do exactly what they say, you're okay. If you don't, they get rid of you. You know what I love about Jesus Christ? He loves me in spite of my faults. He loved me when I'm good, and he loved me when I'm bad. You say, but you're a preacher, you're not bad. Oh, stick around a while. I can be just as mean as you can be. I can be as aggravating as you can be. I can be just, I mean, as unruly as you are. But God loves me whether I'm good or bad. I'm grateful for that. It's great when you have somebody that doesn't love you because you're good. They love you just because they love you. But Jesus is the same. Notice what the Bible said. Jesus Christ, the Savior forever. He's the Son of God. For the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 10:18, Jesus said, no man taketh it from me, talking about his life. But he said, I lay it down of myself. I mean, in the beginning, God created mankind. Mankind messed up. I mean, they didn't mess up. They just flat blew it. They showed the nature of the flesh. What God do? God came through that afternoon. Called for Adam. He didn't have to call him. God could have walked over and put his finger on Adam's nose and said, yes, you messed up. But he didn't do it. God said, where art thou, Adam? Of course, Adam told him what happened, whose fault it was. It surely wasn't his. But you know what God did? God slew an animal, clothed them. The clothing was for the covering of the nakedness. The slain was the blood. It's always been the blood. It'll always be the blood. I'm grateful. As I said, the message doesn't change. The Savior doesn't change. The Bible said, for by the shedding of blood is a remission of sin. Jesus Christ died on Calvary, shed his blood. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son of God came in obedience and became that sacrifice for sin, for mankind. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who's lost? The Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in this world that can or they could stand up but not tell the truth and say, I'm okay. No, you're not. You're like John Newton said, we were lost. We were wretched. We were blind. We were on our way to hell without any hope till Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, came into the world obedient unto the will of God to be that sacrifice. And he said, in my obedience, no man took my life from me. I laid it down freely. Tell me today, who in the world would give their life for you? Now, I'm not talking about parents and kids. I'm not even talking about husband and wife. Tell me somebody that doesn't, that you don't like and you just despise would come and die in your place. That's what happened. We didn't love God. Don't tell me I've loved God all my life. No, you haven't. If you did, you'd have done better. We were wretched. We were filthy. We were ungodly and we enjoyed it. You know, when we got saved, when we got sick and tired of our sin, when we realized the love of God was better than our sin, Jesus said, no man took my life. Some say the Jews killed him. Some say the Romans killed him. No, they didn't. Love killed him. The only thing that he was guilty of, they said he was guilty of blasphemy. That's not true. The only thing that Jesus Christ was guilty of was love in the first degree. And that love in first degree was for us that didn't care anything about him. If you can't cheer up over somebody loving you that you don't deserve to love you, you got problems. But we can be cheerful. We can cheer up because the Savior never changes. He came for a reason. That was to die, and he did it. But not only is Jesus Christ the Savior, the one that paid our sin debt, he's our friend. Now, I've heard people say, I don't care whether I have any friends or not. You're lying. Everybody wants friends. I don't care if anybody likes me. You're not telling the truth. That's why you see those people sitting in the corner with their thumb in their mouth pouting because they don't have any friends. But we can cheer up. We that are saved, we have a friend. But even say to those that are not saved, you still got somebody who wants to be your friend. I mean, the one you cuss, the one you talk about, the one you deny, the one you refuse. Notice what the Bible said, Jesus said. Proverbs 18:24 said, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, we talk about blood thicker than water. The family unit should be like this. But it's sad, much of the family unit's like this. But God said, even though the brethren, the family's not going to, I'm a friend that sticketh close. You don't never have to worry about him being out here unless you're out here and he's still in the same place. But he said, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Notice what they said about him. They said that he's a friend of publicans and sinners. See, you don't have to be saved for God to want to be your friend. But then when you do get saved, man, you're talking about becoming a unit. You're talking about becoming a family. Because he said in Hebrews 13:6, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You and I have never had a friend like Jesus. We've had people we thought was our friends. And when things got bad, they were gone. When things got tough, they were gone. Now, as long as you was paying the meal ticket, man, they were a friend. It's not a friend, that's a leech. A friend's a person that sticks with you when you got two 20s to rub together, or sticks with you when you don't have any, even two pennies to rub together. They're still there. When you're in trouble, they're there. When you're going through problems, they're there. When you're upset, they're there. That's a friend, and that's who Jesus is. We need to cheer up and have our joy full, knowing that, hey, no matter what we face, he's there. I mean, the Bible said, what shall separate me from the love of God? And it makes a list there of death and turmoil and problems and all the other things. But it said, nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. Why? Because he is a true friend. You're not going through this thing by yourself. You may think you are. But when you look down and see one set of footprints, remember they're not yours. Why? Because he's picked you up and carried you through. Cheer up, he's a friend that'll never change. Then not only do we see that we can have joy because of the story that never changes, the Savior that's always the same, Jesus Christ, a true friend, but the promises that he's given us never changes. There's not a promise in the Word of God that hadn't been fulfilled except the return of the Lord Jesus. That's it. And it's coming. Oh, I've heard it all my life. That's okay, you're a day closer than you were then. But his promises, let me give you three promises. That's all I'm going to give you today. You don't need any more, you have to go read them. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking there to his disciples. Number one, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. What is that? That's the friend. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be despondent. I don't want you to give up. I want you to stay. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Where does the despondency come from? When we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and put them on the world. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, believe in me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith will remove despondency. But here's his three promises. He said, if you'll believe in me, he said in John chapter 14 and verse 2, he said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. There's truth. What did I tell you? The world is a liar. The prince and the power of the air is a liar. The Bible said that the devil is a father of all lies. But here's truth. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he said, hey, I got a promise for you. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, hey, you're special. I'm going to personally go prepare a place for you. I think it's already ready. I think he's just waiting for the Father to say, son, go get your bride. I believe that's all that's left to happen. And when he tells the son, go get your bride, the trumpet's going to sound. And the voice of the archangel is going to be heard. And we that are alive and remain should be caught up to be with the Lord forever. If that don't cheer you up, they won't nothing cheer you up. I mean, that's greater than winning the lottery. I mean, to think about this, that all that is holding us from moving into that place that he has prepared for me and you, glory be to God, is a father to say to the son, son, go get your bride. The trumpet sound, the archangel's voice be heard, and the church goes out in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, and we go home to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And the child of God said, whoa! What joy. Not only did he give us the promise, I'm coming to get you. I mean, I'm coming to make a place for you. But he said, here's my next promise. And if I go, and we know that he did because the disciples stood there in Acts chapter 1 and saw him ascend into heaven. And the men came there and said, why stand you here gazing? That same Jesus will come again. And he said, if I go, and he did, and prepare a place for you, and he is, he said, I will come again. He said, hey, I'm just going away for a little while. But rest assured, I'm coming back. So this is my joy. Devil, you may win a few battles here, but let me inform you that because of who my Savior is and because of who my Father is, and because of the Spirit that guides and directs me, let me let you know this. You may win a few battles, you may bruise me a few times, but glory be to God, victory is mine. I am on the winning side. The battle is finished. God's already completed it and sealed it. You and I are getting to experience a few things to see His grace. But we can have joy because of His promise. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I'm coming. Don't be ignorant. Believe. Then His third promise was, not only am I going to prepare you a place, not only am I coming for you, but He said, here's my third promise, that where I am, there ye may be also. Positionally, we're already in heaven, but one day, thanks be unto God, physically, we're going to be in heaven. Death ain't all that bad. What death does is you leave all your troubles and your sorrows and your pain behind and you go home to be with the Lord with this promise that He made to us, that where I am, there you're going to be. Think about this. There's somebody in your life that you never want to be separated from. I read a story where a lady had passed away, and just in a matter of hours, her husband passed away, and they said that he grieved himself to death. What was that? That was that desire for that companionship. Well, let me give you this. Jesus said you won't ever have to worry about that. Here in this world, you're not by yourself. But one day, you and I are going to walk together. Woo! Think about it. Think about walking step and step and step with the Savior. And being able to turn around and say, good morning, Jesus. Woo! You won't have to go around saying, where's Jesus? Have you seen Him today? Oh yeah, He's right here with me. How can He be with everybody at the same time? Because He's God. Don't try to figure that out. You'll go batty. You'll go crazy. I mean, you'll wind up beating your head on the wall. You won't understand it, but when we get there, we will experience. I mean, I say to you today, cheer up. Tell the devil to get behind you and leave you alone, because God said that He writes these things unto me that my joy might be full. God wants you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I had a preacher friend live in North Carolina, North Wilkesboro. He used to always say, it's untelling. One day I was at his house and I said, Brother Ronnie, I got a question for you. He said, what is it? I said, what in the world is untelling? He said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's beyond the imagination of man. That's what our relationship with God is. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why is it that we can, woo, when trouble's around? Because He's in charge. And when we walk with God, our joy can be full. So cheer up. He's coming. But cheer up because he's here. But it's your choice. You have got to choose. What mindset am I going to live in? I'm just going to be despondent. I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I'm going to have self-pity. I'm going to have me a pity party. Or I'm going to live in joy. Remember, it takes more energy to frown than it does to smile. God loves you. Jesus died for you. The Holy Spirit's here to guide you. And Jesus is coming back for you to take you home. So make your choice. Doom and gloom or bright and secure. The choice is yours. For me, I'm going to take the bright and secure. I like security. I like happiness. If you're going to be down and out, stay away till you get up and in, okay? Brother Robert, come please get a song ready. But I want to read you some words. I found this song this morning. It's entitled Joy Unspeakable. Notice what it said. It said, I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing. I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near. I can see his smiling face. I have found the joy no tongue can tell. How its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. Lord, you thought I found this song before I preached a message, but I didn't. And here's the chorus. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I didn't even scrape the surface. The half has yet to be told. Cheer up, my children. God's still in control. Let us stand. Brother Robert, you play. You need to come. I ask you to come right now.